Before we get started with this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me let you know that it's brought to you by Draft.com. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why you need to try Draft. No more getting crushed by the pros. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real-life NBA, NFL, or for this podcast purpose, PGA Draft right now. Be done drafting in under 5 minutes and get paid out the day the tournament is done. The PGA version is great. You draft, you enjoy the 4 days, and you collect your money Sunday night. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join them whenever you want. All new players, this is the catch, all new players, when they make their first deposit, get entry into a real money draft by using the promo code SDSports. You got to use the promo code SDSports to get that free entry. That's right, playing a real money draft for free by using the promo code SDSports. But it gets even better. For some crazy reason you do not like Draft, they are offering a $100 money back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now, but you have to use the promo code SDSports. Void or prohibited, must be 18 or older. See website for details. Offer must be redeemed within 14 days. Now, welcome to this week's edition of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga. Yeah.
Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We have a big one on hand tonight. We have the next major on the PGA Tour, the Open Championship, the British Open, to break down. And as always, my co-host on the podcast, Jesse, you can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. How we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. So effing pumped to not have to deal with the web.com/PGA Tour. We got a real legitimate tournament this weekend. Excited.
Yeah, it's absolutely loaded. When I went through and picked the kind of players, I'm looking at this, that, and the other. It's pretty ridiculous, and it's nice because it's one of those major weeks where, you know, some will say soft pricing. I think it's just deep field pricing, but to each their own. But it's going to be a lot of fun to break down, and I remember when we did our previews at the very beginning of the season, this is my favorite major. I absolutely love the Open Championship. I wish I could start, like, 2 hours later maybe on the West Coast, but like, I literally have to wake up at like 3 a.m. on Sunday to watch the final round. So
yeah,
it's cool. It's cool. But that's what we do because we love golf. And right. It's kind of nice because I don't know about you. I haven't even really watched much golf the last 2 weeks.
I haven't. I didn't watch any. I didn't watch. I watched maybe an hour, but I fell asleep yesterday watching it and woke up and Michael Kim had birdied the first 3 holes. And it was just like, this is pointless.
Yeah, I caught some at lunch with the wife and some friends yesterday. That was about it. I golfed Saturday. I know you golfed all weekend. So
yeah,
we had other things to do. We kind of had our own web.com tour and saw how that went. But do you have any takeaways from that? Like Michael Kim blitzing the field 27 under. We said it would be a birdie fest, but just absolutely insane. And you look at the leaderboard and, you know, my boy Francesco, he finished the second, gets his stuff done. But the rest of the leaderboard's pretty much,
It was that's a pretty crazy score, 27 under. That's the tournament record, I do believe. His worst score was Sunday, and it was a 66, par 71, so 5 under there, anyways. And yeah, man, the conditions were really soft. I guess they had a lot of rain there. They had a few delays that I'm pretty sure. It was just when I checked the app, it would say, you know, it's been delayed for whatever reason. So, like I said, I didn't watch much of it. I actually played 99 holes in 3 days this past weekend. So, yeah,
we're lucky Jesse has a chair to sit down in to do this. We might not have him with us today. Yes, he's propped up like Weekends at Bernie's right now. Yeah, but we'll move on from the John Deere. It's always interesting. I was tilted, but some others did very well this week. So we move on to the Open Championship, which is just outstanding. It's at Carnoustie. Why don't you give us a little past event history before we really get into it?
Yeah. So if you go to Google the Open Championship wiki, there's a lot of information on there. One of the major things, and this always comes up with all majors because they're different, is that it's top 70 in ties that gets cut. So it's not like the U.S. Open where it was top 60 in ties. There is no 10-shot rule here. So that's out as well. So there's going to be a full field, 156 start. They're going to cut top 70 in ties like they would a normal PGA Tour event. Of course, this is not a PGA Tour event.
And no MDF.
No MDF, correct, yeah. I mean, at one point, they had two cuts up until, I believe, like in the 70s or something. I don't know. But either way, they stopped the 54-hole cut in 1986. So bottom line, it's your standard type of cut as far as that goes. This year, obviously, like most of the majors except for the Masters, rotating courses around. So it's not been played at the same course every year. This year it's at Carnoustie Golf Links, and Bubba will talk more about the golf course in a minute. But last year's champion, totally different golf course, like I said, was Jordan Spieth. You got Henrik Stenson won it the year before. Zach Johnson was your champion in 2015. Rory won it 2014. Phil, 2013. The last time it was played at Carnoustie was 2007, and Padraig Harrington won, and he actually won the year after that too, and has played at Royal Birkdale, and that was after Tiger Woods won it back-to-back. And then before 2007, it was played there in 1999, and that was the whole John Vandeveld meltdown on 18. Paul Laurie was, I think, like six shots back or something going into Sunday. And that, so the score that year was plus six, the winning score, plus six. In 2007, when Padraig Harrington won, it was minus seven. So I'm pretty sure Wynn probably was wreaked havoc in 1999, but 2007, but obviously wasn't as bad. But either way, it's traditionally a hard golf course. So if you want to talk about the golf course a little bit.
Yep. It's up there in Angus, Scotland. It's the northernmost golf course that the Open Championship participates in. Gets a lot of interesting weather. We'll talk about that after the preview here. But like any Lynx course, it was beat into our heads the last few U.S. Opens. If you get rain or you get wind on these Lynx style courses, it changes everything dramatically. And as you said, between 1999 and 2007, the two different years, you saw dramatic score changes. This course has been played since early 16th century. At one time was just 10 holes. It opened up full time in 1931. The first U.S. Open was there in 1931, or British Open, I should say, was in 1931, British Open, yes. But in 1999, they redid it. They rebuilt and added and removed a ton of the famous pot bunkers, the massively difficult pot bunkers. And that made the course a little bit harder. They changed the greens quite a bit. One thing about this course, I looked at like four or five different course previews. I looked at their website, took the tour, their tour flyover, and you look at it and people will say it's either super wide or super narrow. And it depends on how you want to break it down. The fairways are wide and there is, the roughs and the fescues and all that good stuff to concern you, any links style course would have. The fairways are wide, but like a good links course, a lot of the fairways funnel to the bunkers. So they may be wide, but your shot target is very narrow. And that's something where like a precision golf striker has a much, much better advantage. That's why you see guys like Spieth and Zach Johnson, guys that aren't typically bombers, but can play these kind of courses as well, because they'll get the roll on a links course, but they're way more accurate than some guys that just grip it and rip it, and you never know what happens. When the wind comes into play, you look at certain type of wind players. We'll get into that when we talk about our picks for DraftKings. But it's wide open. It's a par 71, 7,400 yards. Like I said, it's the toughest course in this rotation. They have four of the toughest finishing holes, three of them. There's the little Barry Byrne that runs through them that John Vandeveld can tell you very much about on his debacle in 1999, as you mentioned. So without getting like insanely deep, the fairways are – they had a massive, massive heat wave go through there, and they're extremely baked. If you're on Twitter over the weekend, Brant Snedeker of all guys drove one 400 and like 37 yards. The final finishing hole 18 is like 450 something yards. There's guys that could possibly drive the green if they hit the ball just right based on wind and everything else. It's going to be really interesting. There is a Josh Nardone. I apologize if I mispronounced that or said it wrong. He's a FanShare premium member and he's over there right now, and he gave FanShare a little update. He talked about how the course is going to play really, really tough, but there'll be opportunities because of this baked fairways and everything. But one thing we have to keep in mind, and reading his description from being there today and watching guys practice, it terrifies me. It's going to be like the U.S. Open because the greens aren't holding anything. He said guys were making approach shots. They'd run off the green of the same collecting area, which we saw over and over again at Shinnecock. And these guys were literally practicing shots from these collection areas to different pin placements. They are preparing to not stick shots on the green. So that kind of worries me a bit, but it also kind of gives you an idea. You want good scramblers, good up and down players, stuff like that when we look at it. They had some rain yesterday. It softened it up a little bit. They're expecting some rain Wednesday. Jesse will get into that a little more. And that'll help a bit, but nothing enough that's going to really turn this course around in the next couple of days. So it's a great course. It's a legendary course. It's going to play pretty difficult, but there will be scoring opportunities depending on, you know, maybe your wedge game if you're bombing it. We're going to have to kind of pay attention the next couple of days to see how weather plays and how these guys adjust their style of game in the practice rounds with this different conditions. We have never seen this course in this condition, so it's tough to completely give 100% of how it's going to work. Anything else on the course, Jesse, or do you want to give us some weather information?
Yeah, it's going to play hard and fast, like you were just talking about. So how exactly that's going to factor in is, I guess, the great question, and we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But as far as weather goes, wind at this point doesn't look that bad. I mean, all relatively speaking, of course. I mean, I'm looking at getting like max winds on Thursday of about 14 miles an hour, and that's really that kind of the worst until maybe Sunday afternoon. Couple things with the Open Championship, they send everybody off one and threes the first 2 days, so there's no split tees, so they won't. There won't be multiple, you know, groups going off at the same time. There's basically they start them at daybreak there around, you know, 5, 6 a.m., whatever time it gets light over there. And they have longer days, obviously, than we do, too, because it's further north. It's summer. So, you know, they can pretty much play golf till about 10 o'clock, I do believe. So they get them all in. At this point, there is a little bit of rain in the forecast Friday evening, potentially spilling over into – or Friday morning, excuse me, Friday morning, potentially spilling over into actual play. Chances are the best though, like right before play starts. So that, I mean, that could be an advantage, but the one thing with the Open Championship almost every year is there's a tee draw advantage. This could be the year that there's not. But ever since I've been playing DFS, if you stack one wave and you get it right, you know, you're usually, get a little bit of an advantage over the field. So, you know, there'll be a lot of talk about that moving forward, and you know, people will claim that there's no advantage Thursday morning as soon as it locks. But you just don't know until, you know, Friday, until they play Friday. So it's definitely worth stacking, especially if you're playing multiple lineups, probably both waves, and just see what happens. But we'll talk more about the weather, you know, through Twitter and then also through the Sports Degens Slack chat too, as we get closer to lock, which is like 1:35 Wednesday or Thursday morning. So about 7 hours before we usually start over here in the States.
Sweet. Yeah, no, that's a question we get almost every week is which, you know, tee times do you prefer in the Slack chat? So yeah, come join us there because this is a week where it actually matters. Like you said, at the same time, we can do all the research we want, but that weather can change on the, like, flip of a coin.
Right.
So, like, you could think going into, like you said, when it locks on Thursday morning, okay, I put together the right setup, and all of a sudden, you know, Thursday afternoon, all hell breaks loose. So you never know what's going to happen there. But before we go on, I wanted to clarify the gentleman that's over there in Scotland. I want to get it right. It's Nick Varone. You can find him on Twitter at Nick Varone. He's going to be tweeting stuff out there. Seems like a pretty good follow in the industry. So go check him out. He's talking about stuff, and he had some player information there as well from like Hideki, Spieth, Fleetwood, and others. So go check all that out. Yep. Really good stuff on site. So go follow him, check it out. With all that said about the course conditions, the weather, blah 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 blah, what kind of stats are you looking for on this wide open type deal?
Yeah, I've been going back and forth all day between accuracy and distance. So I just decided to basically weight them equally as far as off the tee, driving distance, driving accuracy, and then greens regulation, of course, is my usual go-to. And then birdie score and par five score, because I was actually watching another fan share guy, DFS Jimmy. He was talking about how a lot of the scoring this week will come on the par five. So you do need guys who can score on par five. So avoided that a little bit. You know, not a whole heck of a lot, but it's kind of what I'm looking at. One thing about most links courses too is putting can be negated because they usually run a lot slower, especially a lot slower than the greens in the United States, because you can't have 30, 40 mile an hour winds and, you know, greens running at a 13 or a 14 stimp. So they're usually around a 10. And that brings quote unquote bad putters into it a little bit. So not looking at putting at all. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at, I like how you said you kind of split it between distance and accuracy. I'm looking at accuracy big time, but I'm not ignoring distance at all because that's the beauty of a links course. You can take advantage of things when you do it just right.
Right.
And you can make longer holes really short and make them very, very scoreable. So, and these guys want to do that. That's the beauty of this tournament is you'll see guys do things that you might not see the average Joe try to do. And it's pretty impressive on a link style course. So I like both of those big time. I'm looking at, you know, your DK scoring, your birdie or better type guys. And I like your par five angle there, because you're going to see as fast and as these fairways are playing, the greens are playing, there's going to be guys torching up there into more often than we expect. And it'll get really, really interesting to see how it plays. So we're kind of on the same page, it sounds like, on our stats we're looking at there. And the last thing I wanted to ask you is you got something coming up for FanShare this week, a little different than your normal week-to-week deal. What are you working on for the guys at FanShare Sports?
Yeah, so instead of the kind of normal stuff that I've been doing, just going to take a look at majors and the past few, and then obviously the Open Championship as well. So I'm going to check out kind of like the top scores, the top ownership, salary usage as far as how people have used, how much they have used over the last few majors. So things like that. And then also kind of where those players, the top owned players have fallen as far as salary wise, and then the top scores have fallen as well salary wise. So kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole this afternoon. Didn't have a whole heck of a lot of time because I was trying to get caught up on some work, 'cause I took off last week, but it'll be out tomorrow morning, most likely.
Sweet. Looking forward to seeing that.
To the
a little Tuesday more morning. Tuesday morning. There you go. A little more from FanShare Sports. Last year, DK points compared to tags. Top DK scorer was Jordan Spieth at 91 points. And if this is accurate for guys that are in this field right now, Matt Kuchar had 63 DraftKings points. That can't be right.
Spieth had 123 and
Kuchar. I'm in the wrong column. Spieth had 128, Kuchar had 100, and then Haotong Lee had 88, McIlroy 85, Brooks 83, Leishman 80, Matthew Southgate 79, RCB 78, Grace 76, and Xander 74. But the big takeaway here is Spieth and Kuchar, the top two DK scorers, were ranked 6th and 5th in most tags. Kuchar had one more tag than Spieth. Other than that, though, like Lee, 72nd. You know, Rory, 13th. Brooks, 22nd. Leishman, 16th. Southgate, 68th. And you have 29, 31, and then Xander, 79. So it's pretty spread out. Based on that, you can almost say I'll make a middle-of-the-pack type lineup, which we can talk about later. Now, will that hold true this year? Maybe not. But definitely shows you it does get spread out because the style of play, it opens it up, like you said, to a lot of other guys to attack courses like this. If you're looking at recent form coming into this event, in your last three events, average DraftKings points, Molinari leads the way. He's averaging over 101 points in his last three events. DJ's second, as you'd expect, the number one golfer in the world. But Bronson Burgoon, he's averaging almost 100 points in his last three events. Stewie Cink, almost 100. Dustin Rose, you got Lahiri, Ryan Armour, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Cantlay, and Russell Henley. So a little bit of what you'd expect in a couple of names that make you kind of scratch your head. Maybe take some with a grain of salt because of the tournaments they just played in. But still, some really, really good golfers coming in to this week. And then one last thing. I know I keep saying one last thing. One last thing for FanShare Sports. It's still kind of in the beta stage. But get ready. They are bringing out a lineup generator. So they're tinkering with it now. It'll be ready for you very, very shortly. But you have to join FanShare Pro. So go check all that out. Really good stuff there. You got Jesse's content and all the other good stuff. Plus, they have great projections. I know Jesse and I look at every week. They have the tags, and now they're going to have a lineup generator. They keep pumping out great content. Plus, they'll have NFL coming up, and they were great with that last year. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was messing with the lineup generator earlier, and it's really smooth. So That'll be a good plus.
Nice. Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into the DraftKings. And as we kind of said earlier, some will call this soft, but the way I look at it is it's when you have a field with this many of the best in the world, this is all – you're going to get this over and over again. So top five guys, 10K and above. You got Dustin Johnson at 11.3, McIlroy at 11,000, Spieth at 10.6, Justin Rose at 10.2, and Justin Thomas at 10,000. What you looking at up top?
Yeah, I mean, so Dustin Johnson is rated almost head and shoulders above the rest of the field, kind of like he was at the U.S. Open. It's hard to pass up on him. There's a couple good things he's got going for him. He's obviously the most expensive, which generally speaking means he will be less owned than a few of the guys down below, especially like Justin Rose. I think he'll be pretty popular. He's also high up in my model. I think Rory makes a lot of sense, though. His issue has been on the greens. If that can be negated this week, then I think Rory's a good play, and he's been sub 10% quite often. And for me, it just seems like he's kind of due for a major. He's been kind of close. I mean, he was fifth at the Masters. He did miss the cut at the U.S. Open, but he's just not played well U.S. Open. He played well at last year's British Open, finished fourth. So I like Rory, and I like DJ, actually, and I think that might be a really, really sneaky stack because there's some guys down low that you can fit them in with. Other than that, Rose, Spieth, I really got nothing for. I don't know what's up with JT now, but he's not hitting his irons as well as he was at the beginning of the year. So, but I mean, you can make a case for all of them. Obviously, I'll say that every week, I think.
Well, it's interesting, like you said, is I made three lineups already today, just kind of tinkering. I like you can do so many things, and one of them is you can take two guys from up here and still feel very confident in what you have going on. And if people have been listening to us long enough, most of the time, Jesse and I don't go above $10,000. We prefer to stay in the world of like the ninth and below and get a really solid lineup of guys we trust. You can do that this week with this pricing. And I love Dustin Johnson. I don't remember the last time I ever played the top price guy on a DraftKings golf slate, but a baseball slate, you name it. I don't think I've ever, it's been a long time, top guy on any slate of any sport. But DJ he loves the Open Championships. He's playing phenomenal golf right now. Number one player in the world. And, we saw him at the U.S. Open. He struggled with the putter on, was it Saturday? But other than that, man, he torched that course. And if he could have just put an average, he beats him by four. We talk about four or five strokes. He's made for courses like this. So I love DJ. I love Justin Rose. I think Justin Rose is going to be the chalk in this section up here. He's a great play. I don't hate it at all. And, chalk's been running wild this year. So I'm not going to be the guy that says fade all chalk. If you want to put six chalks together, you might not win at all, but you'll probably cash just the way it's going. I don't like saying that, but that's sadly the way it's gone. Just one of those things. Like sometimes I think we're just trying to outsmart ourselves here because that's how it used to be. But I love those two. And then your angle on McIlroy, I think, is phenomenal because he's played great at the Open Championships. He's won it before. He's got four top tens in his nine tournaments. I'm going to take the U.S. Open out of this because that was just a cluster F for a lot of people. So we'll just kind of take that out. Prior to that, he's playing great. He's been playing okay since. If that, like you said, if that putter falls, he could beat anybody in this group. Yeah. So I like those three for sure. Won't touch Spieth if he wins. Congratulations, but I won't go there. And one day JT will figure out the British Open, but it won't be the year I'm on him. All right. Let's go to the 9,000s. We got John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood. We might want to call him Chalky Fleetwood this week.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka and Sergio. Sergio could be your Rory McIlroy of this group. What are you looking at in the 9,000s?
A big fan of Brooks. His play recently has just been outstanding. He finished sixth last year at the British Open. And I was doing my fan share deal, like he just shows up so much in these majors in like the top six, as far as points go for the week. He just makes a lot of birdies. He's obviously excellent tee to green, and his putting has been there recently. So I'm a huge Brooks fan this week. we'll probably have a lot of him. Obviously, Tommy, isn't he from this area? Isn't that right?
Well, and he has the course record here because this tournament also hosts the Alfred Dunning, yeah, and they have three courses, and they make it a lot easier for that than they do for the Open, but gotcha. He shot a 63.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, Tommy would be my next choice here. And starting with those two, actually, I don't mind at all. I don't know how popular Brooks will be. I don't really care. You know, with Tommy at 9,400, it's totally different than he was at the U.S. Open when he was like 8,100. So I don't see him being, you know, I don't see him cracking 20% at 94. Because I really, really do think that a lot of people will take a lot of rows. I think he might be the most, the highest owned on the slate. And then go down from there. And it's, you know, it just depends on obviously how comfortable people are, but I'll talk about a little bit more later, but the 6,000 range is where it's at. So I'm totally not against stacking, you know, DJ and Brooks or Rory and Brooks and going on, or even just starting with Brooks. I mean, it's, you know, but either way, I'm a big fan of Brooks. He's hitting a lot of greens, hits it really far. Obviously he's really accurate. His putter's good. There's really nothing bad to say about Brooks Koepka.
Nope, not at all. It's kind of scary because Jesse and I didn't compare notes ahead of this, but we pretty much are on the same page so far in the top two departments. Until Rombo, I love Rombo's game, but I cannot trust him at all. Like, one blow up ends everything, right. And I like what's around here. A name I'm surprised I've heard so much already, and it's not surprised because he has played really good golf, and eventually he's going to get his, sure, is Ricky Fowler at 9,700. A lot of guys are talking him up, so – I don't hate it at all. I made a Ricky lineup. I can see where you love it. He just seems to always fade when you need him the most. But, hey, the Masters did show me a lot. Maybe he's going to turn that corner. Fleetwood is still a great pick, like you said. But my guy here is Brooks Koepka. I am all in on it. We talked about it for the Open, I think, in the show after the Open. He is a major machine. At the, you know, he won the Open at the 2017 Masters at T11. 2020 or 16 Masters, T21, then a T4 at the PGA, T13 at the U.S. Open, T10 at the Open. He didn't play the Open here last year because he was hurt. T18 U.S. Open, T33, T5, T15. So basically T21 or better in all but one tournament since 2014 that he's participated in.
He played in the British Open last year, the Open Championship.
The PGA doesn't have one here.
It was sixth. He finished sixth last year at the British Open. Okay. So.
Yeah, that's what I thought was weird about it. Yeah, no, they didn't have him on here. Thank you, PGA Tour. literally, PGAtour.com. Well done. So basically what I'm trying to say is he kicks ass in major tournaments. He shows up, and I know it's going to be the common theme you're going to hear is it's a links course, and Brooks has dominated the last two links courses he's faced in the U.S. Open and sixth, like you said, at the British last year. That bodes pretty well for what he's got going on. This guy, he seems like it's just a great player. I don't really know what else to say because you nailed everything else on it. But Brooks at 92, I absolutely love. And then Ricky would be the other one I'd look at with Fleetwood sandwiched in between those two on DraftKings. I think I might help space it out a little bit. Let's look at the 8K where you have everyone's favorite guy, Tiger Woods, Jason Day, Paul Casey, Molinari. Molinari's only 100 less than Casey now, by the way, Jesse. Matsuyama, Patrick Reed, Noren, Stenson, Mickelson, and Leishman. This literally, you can make an entire lineup right here and walk away and be totally happy with yourself. I'm not going to. I will look at Casey. I think this is another guy that just loves this style of golf. He's from close to the area, obviously living in he's Scottish, I believe, right?
No, he's English.
Yeah. Sorry. Forgive me, people. Forgive me. Brexit. I'm sorry. But Casey, $8,700. Love that. Molinari, you know, coming over from the John Deere kind of concerns me a bit at the same time. Chartered play in the works. He's a ball striker. And if the conditions play itself right, he fits right in here. Again, $8,600. And Casey's going to be the chalk in this area up top of the eights. And I think you can get a little leverage there with Molinari. So I like him at 86. And then similar to Brooks Koepka in majors, Patrick Reed. I can't ignore what he's doing anymore. He's an animal out there right now. So Reed at $8,400. I like him a ton. Noren, Stenson, like both of them. I'll let you elaborate on those a little bit if you want to. But my kind of favorite one here, and this brings me back, like I mentioned last week, those no laying up guys. They had Mark Leishman's caddy on before the Masters. He said he's been planning for this tournament all year. He absolutely loves the Open Championship. He's made 5 of 7 cuts, 3 top tens, finished T6 last year, T53, T2, T5. Those are his last 4 trips to the Open. This is Leishman's tournament. I think he is probably my favorite play in the $8,000, followed up by probably Patrick Reed and then Stenson and Casey. I absolutely love Mark Leishman this week. So that's where I'm at in the 8Ks. What are you looking at?
Yeah, the I'm a fan of Molinari this week. I mean, like, I can't hate on him anymore. He's just playing outstanding golf, and he's figured out the putter, which was always his Achilles heel, or used to be anyways. Hit it to 5 feet and then hit it to 3 feet and then make the putt for par. Used to be what I used to watch, but I mean, now he's got the full game going at this point. So it's like one of those things where you just want to ride the hot hand, and it seems like Molinari has the hot hand. And that's I think that's a big enough price to scare some people away. And with the names around him, I think it could spread out the ownership a little bit. So no real worries about him being chalky. Paul Casey is going to Paul Casey. He'll make the cut. But will he be able to make a run? That's a big question for me. He'll be higher owned than Molinari. So I don't know if it's better to pivot to Molinari or not. Stenson is the other guy at 8,200. I mean, that's just a stupid price on Henrik Stenson, 8,200. He hasn't won this year, but his last few tournaments, 6th, 26th, 13th, 23rd, 5th, 6th, 4th. I mean, like, how is he 8,200? So he might be, when I said Rose earlier, would be the highest on the slate. It might be Stenson. If you're playing cash, I would definitely take Stenson. You could pivot off of him in a tournament if you want to, but even then, you don't necessarily have to avoid all the chalk all the time. I mean, you can take some guy who's 20% owned and, pivot around in other spots and get some lower ownership, and that'll be one of the things I also talk about in the fan share deal tomorrow. So, Stenson 82 is just ridiculous. So those are the main three that I'm looking at here. I've already heard quite a bit of buzz about Norin. Not a huge fan this week. Leishman, I like your angle there. That's a really good tidbit on him. And he tends to show up in majors. So it'll be interesting to see if he can show up on this one as well. So that's where I'm at. Pretty much Molinari, Casey, Stenson for me in this range.
Yep. Really good guys there. And we'll get back to that Molinari price like you talked about when we talk about someone in the lower sevens and how they compare. But I'll ask you about it then. Let's get into that 7,500 and above, and it's still, Brendan Grace. This is everyone's quote unquote go to in windy conditions. So be ready for this talk with Brendan Grace this week. And he's played well at these tournaments. Got Tyrrell Hatton, Ian Poulter, Adam Scott, Bubba Watson, Knox, Kuchar, Usti, RCB, Bryson, I Hurt My Shoulder, DeChambeau, Fitzpatrick, Tomas Peters, Patrick Cantlay, Luke List, and Patrick Lowry. 7,500 and above, Jesse. Who you liking?
Yeah, so have you heard anything on Bryson?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I haven't heard a damn thing since he left, basically, on, was it Thursday? Yeah,
he WD'd on Thursday. I mean, he was 3 over at that point. So like,
I want to say one thing real quick. Okay, people need to realize he literally hurt his shoulder on a golf swing on that round. I saw so many people saying he pulled out because he wanted a rest, and this is why you should never play Bryson at that price tag and stuff. I am sorry. Watch the shot he made in that thick ass shit and his whole shoulder basically like not move. It was pretty evident when it happened and how it happened. Continue.
Well, so as we say that, I come across a tweet that says he will compete in the Open. He arrived at Carnoustie Monday afternoon, so he didn't even head out right after the John Deere. He was diagnosed with a slight right shoulder dislocation, so he legitimately hurt himself. But says he feels good after treatment and rest. He's not hit a ball since his WD at the John Deere Classic last Thursday. So, interesting, to say the least.
Risky as hell.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, if you're playing – so there's obviously really good contests on DraftKings this week. If your price point is the $4 or something like that, I think he's worth a lineup or two, in my opinion, because his ownership probably will be depressed quite a bit. I mean, he was playing really, really good golf coming in. And one of the things, that he does well is just score. He's been over the last 12 weeks, he's 11th in DraftKings points in this field. And over the last 24, he is 12th in DraftKings points in this field. He's third in shots gained total in the field of the guys who have shots gained over the last 24. So he's playing good golf. It is risky. I do agree. Because, you know, if he gets over in the fescue again and tries to hack it out.
Well, because that's what happened last year. Is he goes and wins the John Deere, triples the first hole, and he just disappeared.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's like, it's a definite. But
I agree with everything you're saying. I think he probably got the best form in the entire field coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea he even did that until like Thursday afternoon, and I was texting people like, what happened? Because I did roster him on a turn, you know, on a team last week or whatever. So that was a lot of fun. Okay. Either way, I think Bryson, you know, if you're playing 20 lineups, I'd put him on one or two. I do think he's worth the risk because most people won't play him. He should be, hypothetically speaking, sub 5% owned. Other than that, getting off him, Ian Poulter is my favorite player in this region at 7,800. He's just playing super solid golf. Hasn't missed a cut since March. Obviously has the win in there. He did play well at the U.S. Open for most of it. Well, I say most of it. The weekend he kind of shit the bed. But either way, you know, he was leading it for a time. So he's just I hope he's mentally strong enough, and I think he's mentally strong enough to, you know, get through the tough conditions that at this golf course. I think Hatton is interesting at 79. He had a bit of a rough stretch there up until basically the U.S. Open when he finished sixth out of nowhere, which was tilting. And then he finished 19th or 16th at the Open de France and 6th or 9th at the Scottish Open. So 9, 16, 6 his last three tournaments for that three consecutive missed cuts. So he's a high risk, high reward type of guy too at 79. But I do like him because recently he's hit a lot of greens. He hits it down the middle most of the time. His putter, he always wants to break it, I think. But and then the last but not least in the $7,500 range, Lowry and Cantlay. I think they're interesting. Cantlay's been kind of sketchier recently, and Lowry's always just weird. I can never get him right, but I do think both of them are interesting. If you want to go with the wind angle, you know, the Irish guy is used to playing in the wind, Shane Lowry. So, yeah, those would be the guys I'd be targeting in this range.
Yeah, I agree. Lowry and Grace would be the kind of little wind guys around here that I'd be looking at, right, those areas there. But I love Poulter. I'm with you on this one. It's not just he hasn't missed a cut since March. He's like T25 and better. T30 is last tournament, but he's crushing it. He's playing great golf, absolutely great golf. And he's a first class red ass, which is outstanding. So give me some of that on my squad. But I love Ian Poulter. His approach game is great. His driving accuracy is really good right now. His short game's even decent. His scrambling's a little, but overall he's playing really, really well. So I do like that quite a bit. I need to look some more into Cabrera Bello because this guy's a great player. Like, when it comes to accuracy and ball striking, it's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. T4'd last year at the Open, but he's come off of three straight missed cuts. So that is slightly concerning, but also could leave him pretty cheap. So I need to look at him more because for the talent level of an RCB, he's not mispriced by any means like a Stenson is. But, you know, we've seen him play a lot better than this price tag. So I'm curious about this one at $7,600. And then the other kind of long shot I look at down here, based on the conditions we have right now where you can bomb away and get away with some things, possibly, again, possibly, and he's coming off a T3 last weekend in Europe, it's Luke List. And this guy, you know, before kind of a couple of missed cuts, was playing amazing golf as well. Really, really good golf. Everything was working for him. And this could be another guy at $7,500 that in a GPP, ownership-wise, could open the door for you. Not one of my favorite plays here, but definitely one I have in mind. I actually prefer the bottom half of the sevens a lot more than the top half of the sevens here. So let's get into that. There's a lot more to name off here. I will name a few, Jesse, and then I'll pass the torch to you. But similar to the Luke List vein, and we saw him play well in good conditions on Saturday at the U.S. Open, Daniel Berger at $7,300 could have some fun on this course. Snedeker's interesting if you want to kind of have a pivot in this range down below. The chalk also, you know, we've mentioned chalk at almost every price level, is Tony Finau at $7,200. This is a guy that has played well, T27, T18, his two open appearances. He's coming in really good form, priced way too cheap. He's playing in Paris with the Ryder Cup guys last week. He's ready to rock and roll. So I like Fino at 72. But the pivot, and this is the comparison I want to give you, Zach Johnson, a former winner of the Open. He's 11 of 14 cuts, three top tens. He's coming in off a T16, T19, T12 in his last three tournaments. He is a ball striker extraordinaire. He plays in the wind phenomenally. He's $7,200. This is mispriced to me. And I know Molly's playing much better, but when you just look at the two of their games next to each other, and you get a $1,400 price difference, Jesse, which of the two do you prefer?
Yeah, I can see that. You made a pretty good case for ZJ there. That's a huge, huge discount. 16th, 19th, 12th, 40th, his last four. And then obviously, like you said, past winner at the British Open. So what about his last few British?
Did you T14, T12, 14, 12, win, first, yeah. T47, T6. His last five, he's T14 or better in four out of the five.
Yeah, three straight top 20s. Yeah. That's pretty solid. So yeah, I mean he could be chalky as well though. I don't know
who's chalkier, him or Finau.
I would always lean Finau.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I would always lean Finau on that, but they could be similar as far as the chalk goes. I do like both of them. Was that all that you were going to say in this range? Or
I was just going to say a couple more real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Like if you want to pivot at 72, I think Webb Simpson could be a sneaky nice pivot at that range off of ZJ and Finau. Given if his accuracy's off a little bit, it'll get sketchy. But the way he's been playing this year, we talked about it, his ball striking is so much better. And the biggest thing is his putter's finally showing up. So Webb could be an interesting one there. And then other than that, I've heard a ton of Danny Willett talk. You get down below 72. I think Charlie Hoffman at 7K, he's a guy that shows up in majors. He's got three straight T20 or betters on the tour, a T20 at the British Open last year. I think at $7,000, that could be some nice value. And then guys like Charles Schwartzel, he plays great in Europe, plays great in these kind of conditions. He's another one at 7K, but I'd rather have Hoffman at 7K. And there's going to be many, many more we could look at here. But what are the guys you're looking at 7,400 and below?
Yeah, it's quite the difference in the last couple of weeks.
I forgot Keegan Bradley, too. Sorry.
Keegan
Bradley at 71.
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys we've been talking about the last couple of weeks first, and now we're talking about them last. That tells you the difference right there. But yeah, I can dig some ZJ at 72. Obviously, Kiradek, my boy, at 73. You know, I don't know how much of them I'll actually play, but another guy at 73 is Hao Tong Lee. He finished third at the British Open last year. He was top six in scoring last year as well. He's interesting just because of that. And he tends to, I think, play better on these like harder courses or whatever. He finished 23rd last week at the Scottish Open, finished 16th at the US Open. So he probably won't get a lot of buzz and could be a nice little pivot there off of some of these 7,200 guys. Another guy at 7,200 is Jorge Campillo, 32nd, 3rd, 8th, 33rd, and 60th in his last five starts, last six starts. Hitting a lot of greens, hitting a lot of fairways. Putter's been working pretty well, so he's interesting. Another pivot guy there. I can dig on your Keegan call there. He showed up on a lot of stuff I've already looked at, and that's tilting his all get out because I think he just got in the field, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a late act. He had his T13 last week, just put him in, or a couple other guys.
Yeah, tilt me to death. Hoffman, I can dig on too. Another guy at 7,000 is Kevin Na.
Yeah. Now, so you're starting to go on the Na bandwagon too, huh?
I don't want to, but at 7,000, I think he's worth a lineup or two. Coming off a win at the Greenbrier, obviously, totally different place. But as far as like ball striking goes, he's hit a lot of greens recently. He doesn't necessarily hit it very far, but he's tends to keep it down the middle for the most part. So, I mean, at 7,000, I think, you know, he's worth, like I said, a lineup or two. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with these guys down low here. I just really think that somebody in here, in this region, the like 72 and below or the high sixes here is going to make somebody a lot of money this week. Who's it going
to
be?
Yeah, there's a ton to choose from. Like you said, is we're usually never confident down here. There's guys we really like down here. Like
for sure.
Round about him, four straight cuts in the British Open. He's made five of seven in his career. So It's not a bad play at all. It's more just kind of a joking thing about Kevin Na. But and plus, you may not hit it the farthest, but the way these courses are going to play, he's going to get a discount. Right. The ball's going to fly down those fairways. So I like that a lot. Let's get into the 6K where you mentioned there's a lot of guys to like here. I know there's a couple I really, really like. Who are you looking at in the 6K range?
Yeah, so initially, and I mean, this guy could be chalky as well. Russell Henley, been playing a lot better than he had in the beginning of the year. 10th, 6th, 25th, 29th, 58th in his last few events. Finished 37th at the Open, British Open, Open Championship, whatever you want to call it, last year. So I think he's interesting at 6,900. That's, you know, a really good price on him. Ryan Fox is another guy at 6,900. 6th and 2nd in his last two starts, which have been in Scotland and Ireland. So that's, you know, obviously pretty interesting as far as he's been used to playing these conditions. He did miss the cut at this last year, but totally different guy this year, I do believe. Grillo probably going to be chalky at 6,800. I mean, another missed price on him. He should probably be mid sevens, I would think. Moving on down, I'll leave Stuart Sink talk up to you, but
thank you.
Yeah. Charles Howe at 6,700. I mean, he's made like 1,000 cuts in a row on tour.
You remember when Charles Howe was the West Coast only guy? Now yeah, it's all changed.
I know. he hasn't missed a cut since the Honda Classic. And he's crazy. only missed two on the PGA Tour year. And that's just an insane price for somebody who's missed two cuts on the PGA Tour all year. He did miss the cut last year at the Open Championship. So, you know, I don't know how much I'll play of him again, but at 67, I mean, that's just a really good price on him. I'll leave Stuart Sink to you. Jazz, Jenny Watton. I'm just going to call him Jazz. So I'll do Jazz down here. Been playing really good golf as well at 64. Sean Norris, for some reason, has shown up on my models pretty high. I guess he plays on the Japan Asian Tour mostly. So, you know, I don't know how much I'll play of him, but whatever. Bronson Burgoon is another guy. You talked about him earlier where he is third in DK points over the last 12?
He's averaging almost 100 points in his last three weeks. Yeah.
So he's over the last 12 rounds, he's sixth in DraftKings points at $6,300. He's sketched to me at 63, but I think he's worth another lineup or two. I mean, that, you know, there's plenty of guys down here. And like I said, I'm going to talk about this more in what I put out for FanShare tomorrow, but like, as I was looking through the lineups for the last like six or like the last two Open Championships, there were three guys in the $6,000 range who showed up in the top six in points.
That's pretty impressive.
You know what that means for this year? I don't know, but you know, so three out of nine were in the 6K range, or three out of 12, excuse me.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. So it's like you've been saying is, you got to find the one down here that's going to win some money, because there's a good chance it will.
And, right.
It makes sense, because, like, I'm with you. Russell Henley at $6,900, the guy is playing phenomenal golf. Hell, it was, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? He was, like, 10-8?
Yeah.
So $6,900 for Henley is outstanding. I've heard Bo Hostler a lot. You know, I'll take first-time guys, but I prefer not them to be in the 6K range. Like, give me a more veteran guy somehow making his first appearance. Hostler may do well, but it's one of those I'll sit and watch this year and maybe reevaluate, but I do like Henley quite a bit. Grillo at 68, I agree, should be chalk, but I want to keep an eye on that because he should not be priced down here at all. He's way too talented. I think he's like 54th, 55th player in the world, and he's $6,800.
Yeah,
that is a mispriced player. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. Another guy's playing really well, and he's striking the ball phenomenally. That could play really, really well into this range, and he's been putting phenomenally as well. Is Ryan Moore, $6,700. He missed cut last year. He's made 5 of 8 cuts at the Open. He either finishes usually pretty good or he misses the cut. So that's just Ryan Moore golf in a nutshell for you. It doesn't matter if it's on U.S. soil or not. That's just what Ryan Moore does. So $6,700 could be one of those guys you could see move up a leaderboard at the Open Championship. And then it comes to my man. He's a defending champion, for Christ's sake. $6,600. Missed cut last year, didn't play the year before, but then a T20, T47, T26. He's coming in on just great, great form, picking on different fields, but for $6,600, Stewie Cink, this, you know, courses fit people, and these link style courses that fit Stewie Cink for a lot of his career. Eventually, Father Time led up, but we said the same thing about Steve Stricker last week, and it still hasn't caught up yet. So, Stewie Cink at $6,600. We had a guy in our Slack chat literally when the prices came out, like on Tuesday or Wednesday, already trolling me saying, "You're going to play Stewart Cink at $6,600, aren't you?" Like, it already came out. Like, they're already coming at me, and yes, I will. Yes.
Right.
Yes, I will. It's just one of those, I can't do it. I can't not play him at that price tag. If that's what ends my week, so be it. But I love Cink at $6,600. Burgoon, I had down at 63 if you need to go super cheap, if you're doing the double stack up top type thing. I can totally see that as an option. You can still get away with Cink and still have some okay guys there. The other guy is, there's always, I've heard the old guy narrative a lot. It's true. There's always a couple of old guys like at the Masters and the Open that make it happen. And the guy I've looked at down here at $6,500 or Keith Goosen, he's coming kind of on a mixed bag of form, like a miscut, then a T6, a miscut, a T20. But he's made 16 and 19 cuts to the Open, including 8 top 10s, and he's not that golfer anymore. But at $6,500, he can just hit it nice and easy down the middle of the fairway. He can get you greens, and he can make cuts, and you never know, maybe gets you a T20 or something at $6,500. So he's an option. I'd rather go 66 to Cink, but if you need to save $100 for some reason, I got no problem with Goosen, or you can play some of the other ones Jesse talked about as well, because there are a lot of really, really good golfers here. A lot of them are first-timers, or they're playing on other tours besides Euro or PGA, like you said. They play on the Asian Tour, the Australian Tour, some of those other ones that all had exemptions to get in. So they're really good golfers in their own right. We just don't know enough about them is what it comes down to. So keep that all on your radar. Let's look at the punts for the week. We just kind of went through the big 66 or 6K range. I'll be blunt about it. It's Stewart Cink and Emiliano Grillo for me. Who are your punts in the 6Ks?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Fox would be one, and then Charles Howell would be the other for me.
Yeah, and all great options. Ton of them. That's like, I've right. never thought about doing the double dips up top, but you can really do it this week.
Yes.
Who are your busts? Give me a couple of them up top. Besides Jordan Spieth.
Besides Spieth,
that's one of mine. So I'll just cancel that out now because I know that's where we're going.
I'll go Rahm. I don't know. His head has just been weird here recently, and he has finished fourth and fifth in his last two. But I don't know.
Rahm was my other one, and then if I just want to get really weird and piss people off, I'm going to stick with my trend I've done all year, Tiger Woods. I love him, and all I've heard for like 3 weeks now that it's cranked up the last like couple days, this is the course that fits Tiger the best. That's all I keep hearing. Yeah. And no one would be happier to see Tiger win. I will be so happy, but I will reiterate, I have faded him every time, so I have not lost a dime on that man while everyone else has. So let's just be very clear on this. Yeah. I think I'm still out on top if Tiger wins this week.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, can he put the whole package together and then also, you know, compete mentally? I mean, that's been his issue so far. He's been okay in some of these tournaments and then just not been able to close them out strong, so this is the ultimate test besides the U.S. Open.
If he would have won like another tournament before this to show he could go four rounds,
I agree with that.
And do it, that would be just tremendous. Like you said, competing for four rounds at a major event in tough weather conditions possibly. Hey, he might get rained out and have to go play 30 holes in one day.
Right.
Like, these are things that could happen on this tournament. So
yeah.
But I'll be rooting for him. I will be. Who are your core players? Because it's tough to narrow it down just yet with so many options out there.
Oh, yeah. One of the things is, you know, like I said, weather and staying on top of that and seeing if there is any advantage, I think, is going to be key this week, like it is almost every week, but especially this week where this is on the coast. So it's going to change probably two or three times before we get to Wednesday. But either way, big fan of Poulter this week, big fan of Brooks. So I'll be rostering those two a lot. And then, you know, I probably will have a lot of DJ and Franny too. Franny Molinari, yeah. That is.
That's right. God, you've had nicknames for him. That's adorable.
I've been calling Franny for.
I know. I'm joking. Yeah, but you used to say it with a lot of anger and hate.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's turned over a new leaf, so I will too.
Yeah, a little smile on his face gets you every time. My core, and I'm going to mix in some nines and tens in here. So I'm kind of trying to stay in the middle on this one. But my main guys, I really like Patty Reed and Leishman in the eights with – can't ignore Stenson either. And then Poulter at 78. So kind of that range from like 84 to 78. I'll be utilizing those guys a lot and then going up top and adding with them. Like you said, the guys we've already talked about, love Brooks, like you do, love DJ. Mix those in there. But those would be the main ones, Reed, Leishman, Poulter, and Stenson, and then build around that top and bottom. Who are your winners? Who do you have winning? Give me a couple.
That is tough. So, I mean, overall favorite, I mean, Dustin Johnson, it's hard to bet against him. Obviously, it's hard to bet him when he's like, I guess he's probably about, what, 10 to 1 or something. I'll get the odds pulled up here. But, you know, I mean, I think he has a great chance to win this week, especially if everything's playing hard and fast. I think he's got a great chance. Other than him, I would go with – I just have a feeling about Poulter this week. I think he's going to do it. So Poulter would be my next choice.
That'd be awesome. That'd be really good. Yeah, DJ for sure. I'm with you 100% there. And then I'm torn between Patty Reed or Henrik Stenson. I think one of those two guys could put it together. But as people have listened to us, we like a lot of guys to play well this week. So
yeah,
you never know. Like, people can play great at these courses and just one little bad weather day can ruin everything. So we'll see how it goes. I like that Poulter call, though. I like that a lot.
The thing about this tournament, pretty much all the majors except for the Masters, is we have little to no course history. And people can say they don't believe in course history all they want, but it, in my opinion, it factors in. And so these tournaments are really fun to play because obviously we've got a lot of money, but the problem is they are hard as hell to predict. And that's why you do get some bigger prices on some of these guys. I mean, Poulter's 66, but then you can get somebody like Kuchar, who's 80. Finau's 100 in this field. So, you know, that it's hard to see somebody 100 to 1 winning, but it's most definitely possible.
Yeah,
DJ's 100 to 1.
100
same,
to 1.
Yeah, same odds as Finau, but, you know, yeah, it'll be a fun week. It'll definitely be a fun week. Cool thing about the Open too is you get to wake up and watch it instead of waiting all day and all morning on Golf Channel to talk to you about what's going to happen and analyze shots and then watch people hit. You know, you just get to wake up and watch it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a ton of fun to watch it all. If people are kind of wondering, some of the top guys that play in the wind, you have the top 25 performers in the wind since 2014, like Jason Day, DJ, Matsuyama, Rory, Spieth, Garcia, and the list goes on and on with your usual suspects. A couple that kind of stand out, if you want to get really weird, Jimmy Walker, Pat Perez, but like Webb's on there. A lot of those kind of guys, you could Google this stuff pretty easy. I was looking at them earlier today. And then the ones that really stood out to me, if you go to the top links players on the PGA Tour, if I can get this one here pretty quick. Oh, yeah, there we go. 2018. Yes, bear with me here for just one more second. But it's similar to those type of players, and now it won't come up, of course. So, yeah, we'll leave the good radio at that. And I was looking at them earlier today. I was, like, on the same link, and now PGA Tour just keeps letting me down. It's a good time for it to start. It's like Amazon Prime Day. any final thoughts, though? Like, we always talk about when you're playing the Millie and some other things, leave some cash on the table and other deals like that. We know the last major tournament we had a dupe, a split up top. Any words of wisdom going into the major?
Yeah, I mean, that would be one, obviously, leave a little bit of money on the table. Other than that, you know, you've got to find somebody who's less than, or at least one or two, usually, who's less than 5% owned. You got to find a few guys who just come out of nowhere and do really well. Doing, you know, pivoting a little bit is never a bad idea, but finding the guy, I think, also two below six who ends up performing well is another grand idea too, because you can usually get those guys at less than 5%, just about every one of them.
And then two final things we'd like to mention here is join us in the Slack chat. We're in and out all week. We make it a point kind of the night before lock to be around, answer more questions, but if, you know, leave one in there, we'll answer it right then, and we'll get to you later that day. One of us is usually around kind of tinkering with it, or people work together in there and answer questions. And the other thing I'll mention is we're going to start a listener league, and it's not going to be posted on Twitter. You need to listen to the podcast. It'll be in the link on YouTube or on iTunes. It'll be linked to the podcast, or it'll be linked on Jesse's write-up on the website. So come check us out there. It will not be on Twitter. It'll be a free tournament, and what we'll do is the winner in every tournament all the way up to – want to go the last major of the year, Jesse? And then we'll have just a winner-take-all from all the winners and give you a prize package then.
Yeah, we could go from now through the PGA Championship and then you know, do something maybe for the first playoff deal there. Perfect. So, because, I mean, that'd be 125 in that field, so probably be the last big field of the year, and then we can – give out a prize pack and some swag, some, I guess, AP swag, always pressing.
Like, yeah, this, we're gonna get some always pressing stuff. But get some always pressing stuff. Yeah, like that sticker Jesse has, or we'll get some cool T-shirts made, some, you know, koozies, balls, whatever. We'll figure something out. We'll get some cool stuff put together for you to come join it. But you have to check out the podcast, or you have to check out the website, preferably both, and we'll go from there.
Yep. But
with that being said, that'll wrap it up. Awesome weekend of golf. Enjoy it. This should be really, really fun. Hopefully weather. I kind of hope for a little weather to keep it interesting, but I don't want I don't want it to destroy the tournament. So give us a little fun, but don't make it just like, I don't want to see Shinnecock where it just turns into a joke. Like, give us some fun, but keep it real. But thanks for checking us out. We're on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Speaker, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, the works. But this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Your 2018 Open Championship preview. Catch you guys next time.